Chapter 1. The Turbulent Present. Abandoned and Alone. September 7th, Wilsonville, Oregon. Remy opened her eyes, her fists clenched. It's still not coming back. Her counselor sighed.
I'm sorry. That's the only method I know for recalling memories. I think it's time to see a specialist. Someone who can help you in a more neurologic way.
The woman's robust voice didn't match her thin, aging body. You're dumping me? Another unexpected blow. Remy had found Joanne's name in her phone contacts and assumed they had a history. Even though this musty, low-rent office didn't give off a professional vibe, she'd counted on this woman to help get her life back.
Please don't see it that way.
Joanne scooted forward, her eyes troubled.
This situation is complex for me. During our earlier sessions, before the incident, you told me things about your past, about your guilt. Now that you can't remember any of that, it would be unethical and probably counterproductive for me to remind you. So I shouldn't see you until you've recovered.
The counselor reached for a notepad.
I'll refer you to a neuropsychologist in Portland.
Remy shook her head. I can't start over. It's all been too much. She'd had a sliver of hope when she'd walked in, but now she felt abandoned and alone. That would be the tagline on her gravestone.
I'm still available by phone, if you have destructive impulses and need to talk.
Joanne held out the referral note.
Remy let out a harsh laugh.
Ha ha! Destructive impulses would be her footnote. I'll be fine. Thanks, though. She bolted from the office, knowing she would never be coming back. Coming here the first time a year ago had felt like cracking open her own chest. She remembered the pain of that first session, if not the details. Then 2 months earlier, just as she was able to get through a day without hating herself, she'd suffered the strike and woken up with unbearable pain and no memory. Pieces of her recent life in this town had come back, but the rest of her past was still a total blank. What was the point of seeing yet another specialist? So they could tell her she was physically fine and to just be patient? The doctor who treated her in the ER kept saying that, and his indifference, especially to her physical distress, infuriated her. Remy reached for her phone to delete the counselor's contact, but she'd left the cell in her car. At the bottom of the exterior stairs, she swore. Not only was it drizzling, signaling summer's coming end, some jackass had parked his crappy van too close to her Mazda. Now she would have to squeeze her wide hips in sideways like a contortionist. She shuffled across the secluded back lot, wincing at the literal pain in her ass, and wishing she'd dressed warmer. As she grabbed the driver's side handle, a flash of panic. Where was Tuck? Behind her, the van's sliding door clanged open. Instinctual fear made her spin around to run, but she was too slow. A powerful hand pressed a vile rag against her mouth, and a massive arm wrapped around her ribcage. With a quick lift, the man heaved her like a sack of cement. From inside the van, someone grabbed her armpits and pulled her into the dark space. She couldn't form the rest of the word. Her tongue wouldn't work, and her brain felt woozy. Yet before she blacked out, a vague thought came together. Whoever she'd been hiding from had finally found her.